Good evening, one and all. Pray that the first part of this week has been blessed of God to you. And glad to be back in fellowship with you. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording. And praise God for another day of life. And this year is almost all up. 11 more days to go. And we'll be in 2018. And this year has really gone by quickly. But so much faster to the coming of the Lord. So greetings one and all. And our song for tonight is Holy Thine. I would be, dear Savior, holy thine. Teach me how, teach me how. I would do thy will, O Lord, not mine. Help me now. Holy thine, holy thine. Holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine. Holy thine, O Lord, just now.
What is worldly pleasure, wealth, or fame without thee? Without thee, I will leave them all for thy dear name. This my wealth shall be. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine. O Lord, just now.
Amen. As I cast earth's strands in joys behind, come thou near, in thy presence all in all I find, 'tis my comfort here. Holy thine, holy thine. Holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, O Lord, just now.
Now and forever. Amen. It's time for opening prayer, and let us please bow our heads and our knees. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much for being in control of all things and allowing thy perfect will to be done. Thank you for your providence in each one of our lives. Thank you for hearing and answering prayers according to thy perfect will. Thank you for the healing grace upon those that have petitioned thy throne for it. Sister Lynn is feeling better. My back is getting well. And others are having relief from their ailments and predicaments. And thank you so much, Father, for being so caring and loving. And Savior, for being such a merciful and loving physician. Please be with us. We ask thy presence to be here, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. May we indeed have our minds enlightened and refreshed from digging into thy word and understanding the spiritual lessons there as it applies to each one of us. And please, Spirit, help us not to forget these lessons of truth, but to remember them and let them become part of our life and character. Thank you so much for being our Godhead and for allowing us to meet together once again in Christian love and fellowship. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones, and we're in Acts, our study book, we're in chapter 5 and verse 1. And the last thing we were talking about was individuals at that time, in order to help the infant early Christian church to spread the gospel as far and fast as possible for that time. They would sell everything that they had and give the money to the church, and then the church would in turn take care of them for the rest of their lives. And Barnabas was just such an individual that, having land, he sold it and then brought the money and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And now chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what they did was, they wanted to keep some of the money for themselves, but yet still be able to live off of the church. So let's say they kept 10% back. They gave 90% to the church. And then they made it appear that that was everything. And so then the church would take over their the expenses for their living for the rest of their lives, because it was assumed, yeah, like a private insurance, it was assumed that they gave everything to the church. So in turn, the church would take care of everything for them. But they didn't fully trust the church to take care of them. So they kept back part of the money for themselves, but made it appear that they gave all. Isn't that what happens to some hearts in these last days? They profess to have given all to God, their whole heart, but they keep back part of it for themselves? A divided heart instead of a fully submissive heart to God?
But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power, thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things.
Yeah, that was the arrangement that they had back in those early days. And it allowed the early Christian church to spread the gospel like wildfire and to do it very quickly. Whereas if they were just dependent on tithes and offerings without this great influx of extra donated money, it would take a lot longer to get the gospel message out. But that's what they did at the time. And then you had Ananias and his wife trying to live on both sides of the aisle, if you will. They wanted to have money for themselves. They didn't want to be total paupers. But yet they also wanted to receive the benefits of the church and to have the honors and then the praises of others saying, you know, praise God for your donation. It's definitely going to spread the gospel like wildfire. They wanted to have the best of both worlds. They had a divided heart, not wholly devoted to God. And because they kept back part of their donation, their sacrifice for themselves, Ananias lost his life. And that's eternal life, not just his physical life. He will not be saved. And so that strikes each one of us in a very solemn way. We've chosen to serve God. We've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've covenanted to be Christ and His alone. And if we then renege on our covenant and keep back part of our heart for ourselves instead of giving everything to God, then we're also going to lose everlasting life just as Ananias did. Now, it's also interesting here. Ananias didn't lie to anyone with his mouth, but he made it appear that he had given all. So just his appearance, amen, duplicity, just his appearance in the way that he acted was deception. And since it dealt with a religious matter, the church of God, the bride of Christ, he was not just lying or deceiving his fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. He was lying to God. But which God of the Godhead was he lying to? Amen. It wasn't God the Father. It wasn't the Lord God Michael or Jesus Christ. Ananias was lying to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. So here we see very clearly that the Holy Spirit is a God. Not God the Father and not God the Son, but a God in and of himself. So when someone tries to get you to believe that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is not a God, it's just the essence of the Father or the Spirit of Christ himself, but not a separate being, then you can just refer them to Acts 5 verses 3 and 4.
I'm thinking of the verse here that says, hearing these words, Ananias gave up the ghost. So without the Holy Ghost, we're dead, because this is the one that brings, that teaches us all things. But also I can see why they had to deal with Ananias so drastically, it seems, because if he used his money that he held back to buy certain things, and it wasn't sanctioned by the church, it would cause a big conflict among the peoples and may very well destroy the church.
Well, exactly, exactly. Because eventually word would have got out, you know, Ananias, how can you have bought that garment? The church didn't give you the money for it. How could you have gotten it? Well, if you promise to keep it quiet, I'll let you know how. And then that, of course, would not have been kept quiet. They would have complained. Well, man, Ananias is being able to be supported by the church, and he kept back 10% of his money. Well, I need to do this to give me 10% of my money so that I have some spending money here and I'm not always dependent on the church. So you're right. It would have ruined the whole endeavor of the early Christian church to spread the gospel far and wide, because it would have brought up the aspect of favoritism or the aspect of corruption or unfaithfulness in the treasury or the store of money. And then individuals would not have wanted to give another penny to the church that way. It basically would have destroyed the funding for the missionary effort to spread the gospel around the world. So you're absolutely right.
Good evening, dear brethren. Also, thinking that, you know, if the Lord had allowed that to continue as it was, then it would have spread and kind of been like a cancer, so to speak, where the whole deception would have just continued to spread over the whole church, and maybe some unknowingly so would have been touching and agreeing with deception and not even being knowing it, and corporate responsibility, so to speak, would have come into play. And again, as you were saying, Elder Rob, that, you know, the whole church would have become corrupt.
Well, I don't know that the whole church would have been corrupted by it, but definitely it would have curtailed the giving to the church along that fashion. It would have left an impression with people that there were problems in the financial part of the operation of the early Christian church. And of course, any type of question of unfaithfulness in the monetary or the financial aspect always brings about a hesitancy to want to donate. And so instead of people following the impression and the promptings of the Spirit to give everything to the church, everything to God and his cause, and then the church would take care of you from then on, it would have been a question whether to do it or not. And thus individuals would have been questioning the impression of the Spirit, which would have led to all kinds of heart problems, all kinds of spiritual problems. So just from this one act, and I don't think Ananias and Sapphira knew all the problems that they were going to cause by doing this. I just figured that they were covetous to begin with, and they really didn't want to put their whole trust in God and his people. They wanted to have some security blanket for their own. And if so, they should have just said, well, you know, we feel we need to keep back 10%, but we're giving you 90%. You know, is that sufficient? And then the apostles or the, you know, those in charge of that aspect of caregiving would have said, well, you know, you need to give all. And then they could have made the decision there. But here, Ananias came in and didn't tell people what he was doing. He just went through the motions and made it appear that he was 100% sacrificing individual for the good of the cause, when in fact he wasn't. He was like a 90%er. 90% for God, but the other 10% he wanted to cling to sin. Cling to self. So there was a very quick judgment meted out and executed on Ananias. It wasn't Peter that did it. It wasn't his fellow church members that did it. It was God, the Holy Spirit, that did it. Not God the Father, not God the Son. But God, the Holy Spirit, executed judgment on Ananias. And it was immediate. Any other thoughts, comments, questions? Question in the room says, are you sure it wasn't an angel that actually executed the judgment? No, I can't say that I'm 100% certain that it wasn't an angel. But if it was an angel that executed the sentence, it was with the permission of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, one way or another, the Holy Spirit was involved in the execution of the sentence to Ananias of eternal destruction. Do you have any Bible or Spirit of Prophecy statements that pinpoint comment, or actually a question that says, so would that have been the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? I would say that it definitely close, if not actual blasphemy, because all manner of sin can be forgiven if it's done against the Father and done against Christ, but that which is done against the Holy Spirit can't be forgiven. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts you of sin. And if you thus sin against your convictor of sin, what more can he do? So I'd say that is a very good possibility there, dear sister.
Would the sentence in 5:5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Giving up the ghost, of course, can be just dying, but it seems they said he lied to the Holy Ghost, and then hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, it makes me feel like it was the Holy Ghost.
That's an interesting thought. I've always just assumed the phrase gave up the ghost was another Greek meaning for ghost or spirit is breath. So Ananias, hearing these words, stopped breathing and fell down dead. But it could have a connection there with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Any other thoughts on this, thought? Please go right ahead.
Well, I notice also that in the previous sentence, the Holy Ghost is capitalized, denoting that it's part of the Godhead, but in this other sentence, it's not capitalized, so it may just be a common saying.
Well, it's good to think on both possibilities and sort of keep that logged into your mind and then keep reading to see if there's any type of evidence that backs up that thought. So I would not dismiss it right out. I just keep it in mind and see if there's any evidence that supports that. And if you find evidence, and that's a fantastic thought and insight. If you don't find any evidence, well, it's not something you can run with, but it's still a worthy endeavor to try and see all the different angles and all the different pieces of the puzzle that make up the big picture of what was taking place here. So Ananias lied. Thought he would get away with it, but he ended up lying to the Holy Ghost. And so you can see that the Spirit was convicting him, and you know was convicting his wife that, hey, what you're doing here is not right. You need to give up the plan, and you need to give it all. Don't hold any back for yourself. Give God everything. Don't deceive your brethren. And it came right down to the point that he was going to continue with the plan no matter what. And thus he committed sin, the unpardonable sin against the Holy Ghost. And his probation closed while he still lived, and he died. But his wife was not there at the moment. Would she continue with this premeditated plan? Or would she give in to the prickings of the Holy Spirit to give it up? Well, let's see. And who would like to read verses 6 through 10?
And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband.
Can you imagine being in the crowd of the, you know, the church brothers and sisters watching what had just taken place with Ananias? And then seeing the wife coming in and everybody, of course, shh, yeah, look, she's here. And so it was dead silence. And then Peter asked her right up front, Hey, did you sell the land for, 45,000? Well, yeah. Well, you know, it was really 50,000. You kept 10% back for yourself. And, this means that you and your husband were in on this together. It was a premeditated plan to deceive your fellow brethren in the Church of God, and you've tempted the Spirit of God. You've committed the unpardonable sin, and judgment's going to be meted out against you by God. And then she falls down dead. So they thought that they could deceive their brethren and get away with it. But when it has to do with God's cause, you can't get away with it. Because God sees and knows it all. Now, her probation was not yet closed. All the while that she had not tried to deceive. Even when she had agreed with Ananias in their home, yeah, this is what we're going to do. Her probation was not yet closed. And it didn't close until she committed that unpardonable sin. The Spirit was pricking her, don't go along with it. You still have chance to give it up and make it right. You can give the money, all of it, back. Don't keep any bit of it for yourself. Do what's right. And she was fighting against that conviction. And when she finally voiced her deception, yes, we sold it for this much, knowing that they sold it for 10% more, perhaps. There wasn't anything more the Spirit can do. Her life was ended. That took place some 2,000 years ago. But the same type of battle between the heart and the spirit is going on right now. Are we going to hold back what God requests of us, requires of us, and yet lead people to believe that we're Christians, followers of Christ? Are we going to try and live a double life? Being godly when we're in fellowship one with another and when we're away from one another and live like the world? Are we going to be double-minded or single-minded, having the mind of Christ? Because the Spirit is going to continue to keep pricking our hearts, leading us, encouraging us, strengthening us to give it all up that we might win Christ. And in winning Christ, we win everything. What good is 10% of your life, of your heart, when God is giving you everything, if you give it all up? What was the 5,000 silver coins to Ananias and Sapphira when they could have gained the wealth of eternity if they would have sacrificed it? What good is having millions in the bank of earth when you can give it to God and have millions, billions, trillions in the bank of eternity? We need to look away from the temporal and view the eternal. What does God require of my soul? And if we love Him, yes, Lord, to everything You require, because He is worthy. He sacrificed everything for us. And in showing our appreciation and love for His infinite sacrifice, He asks us to give a finite sacrifice. You know, think about that. Think of how lopsided that is. God gives us the ocean, and we give Him a drop of water in return. But that drop that... Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, questions, before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead, dear ones. Verse 11. Great fear came upon all the church, everyone there that was watching what had taken place, and upon as many as heard these things. No double-minded people wanted to connect themselves with the church because they feared to offend, feared to have any connection with deception whatsoever in becoming part of the church of the great God. May we be as careful as they were. Well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And who would like to begin this season? Please feel free.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank You for a chance to come apart once again and discuss your love and your dealings with your human beings. We learn from other people's experiences. There are certain things that we don't want to do. It'd be kind of bad to follow the example of Ananias and Sapphira and exchange eternity for a few shekels, a few dollars. Forgive us where we have done similar in any other way. Help us not to exchange the foolishness of this world, this life, for eternity by spending time doing things that we couldn't invite you to come and spend time with us doing. I remember when Mother was a little girl, young girl, she used to go to the theater. And after she learned the truth, she said, I was afraid to go because I was afraid my angel would stay outside. If that building collapsed on us while I was in there, I'd be lost. Well, so I think she might have been right. And the things that we do each day that we know aren't right could work the same for us now. We want to be ready when you come. We're to pray to be among the 144,000, and that's our aim, unless you see different. So bless us and forgive us for our sins. Help us to take care of the details so that when we come up in judgment, you won't say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. That would be a very sad time for us.
Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be able to come before thee yet one more time, dear Savior. Lord, we praise you because you alone are worthy, and I pray, not to have a divided heart, but to learn from the examples that you show us in your word, that we would ever be completely and totally surrendered to thee, is my prayer. I thank you so much for the healing that you have provided for those that have been standing in need of here in the service here, Elder Rob, myself, and all of the others, Lord, that have petitioned for healing, Sister Susan's brother, you remember his name, dear Lord, and it skips my mind, Roger. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. And Brother Jim with his knees. And Lord, you see Brother Dick with his arm, and thank you so much for continuing to heal. Thank you for being with the spoken and unspoken requests, as I have two unspoken, dear Lord. You see the circumstances here and with all of our brethren around the world. Thank you, Lord, for granting in accordance to your will. Thank you for touching my mom and continuing to keep her according to your will, as well as my brothers, to bring them completely back to thee, I pray. And I thank you, Lord, for being with those co-workers as well at work. And Lord, I don't just want to be mentioning myself, but all of the requests, Lord, that have gone up here and are going up even right now silently. Thank you, dear Savior, for already granting, as I plead your blood over us, and please cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These things I pray and thank you beforehand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Father, thank you for continuing to put these lessons in front of us so that we can know what truly is yours and what belongs to the world. And help us to always make the choice for the heavenly things, to follow the word of God, to forget what the world can give us and think of only what you give us, which is peace and love and joy and understanding. Be with those that are hurting tonight, be it physical, mental. Send the Holy Spirit to them to comfort them. And don't give up on us. Help us to keep searching the word, your word, to find eternal life with you. And thank you, dear Lord, for being.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're a day closer to heaven. Please help us to get prepared. Help us to be watchful, prayerful, and active in working to clean up our lives, clean up our actions and words and thoughts, to put self off and to put on Christ, and to share him with others that they too may have the precious privilege of getting themselves ready before it's too late. Please also help us to discern the voice of the Spirit, to recognize his pleadings, his intercessions for us, the prickings on our heart. Let our conscience become sensitive and help us to focus upon that still small voice and to unquestionably obey according to thy perfect will. If we have a question, take it to the law and to the testimony. Test it. And if it agrees, then follow it without any further question. We indeed want to be your followers, children of the Most High, not just in word and name, but in life and character. And thank you, Spirit, for making this all possible. And please forgive us for grieving thee, for spurning thee, doing despite to thee, kicking against your prickings. And please help us to submit and indeed be transformed into an image of our Father, our Savior, and of righteousness. Help us to avoid a double heart, being double-minded, being wavering, and let us be more firmly grounded and rooted on the rock Christ Jesus, and no longer be in such a shaky, unstable condition. Thank you so much for helping us in each step to come up higher and to be joyful in our God. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Jesus' precious name, and amen. Are there any other thoughts, questions, comments, testimonies that you'd like to share? Any hymns or requests? Please go right ahead.
I was just thinking about the still small voice that speaks to us and how quick we should be to listen. And a few years ago, I didn't listen. I was out in the yard and was going to pick up the head of the hose to water some plants. And there was a bunch of coiled hose in disarray in front of me. And this little voice said in my head, "Don't walk over the hose." And to not walk over the hose, I would have had to go back out behind and come around, and I'd have to walk three times farther than if I just walked over the hose and picked up the head of the hose. And what happened? The sole of my shoe was coming apart from the top of it. And as I walked over the hose caught in between the bottom of the shoe and the top, and I went down flat on the cement on both knees. And I laid there for maybe 10 minutes and I thought, I've got to get up somehow before the endorphins wear off. And I thought, which knee do I want to get on in order to stand up? It so happened I was pretty close to a car parked there in front of the garage and I could pull myself up on the car. So I did. I stood up and almost fell over again, but was able to steady myself. And I knew that if I fell over again, I wouldn't be getting up. I walked into the house as fast as I could and grabbed a package of frozen blueberries and stuck them on both knees. And then I called the doctor and said I fell. And what was bad about it is I was taking blood thinners, so I knew there was a lot of bleeding that was occurring and needed to stop it. Well, I didn't break anything.
Amen indeed. And it's being able to discern that still small voice that can make all the difference in our lives. And that's an issue that I wrestle with myself. I'm praying for God to grant me that discernment between the voices, whether it's my own mind being extra careful or whether it's divine guidance saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You know, don't do that, do something else. And that's something that we're all going to have to try and discern, try and understand in our walk with God. And I believe that the closer we get to Christ, the more we're going to recognize God's voice, the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You know, and especially in regards to God's cause, if we're out witnessing for Him and the voice comes into our head, hey, you know, go talk to this person first before that one. Well, you know, obviously that's something a little more important than just being out in the backyard or, you know, wrestling with trees or something along that line. Yeah, or hoses. So praise God that He recognizes that we are but dust and that He patiently and long-sufferingly works with each one of us. So praise His holy name. Amen, that's true. We learn by repetition. And praise God, we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world. Question in the room says, how do we learn by repetition? I'm not understanding this. If it's God's Spirit that's leading you to do something or not to do something, the more times you hear that voice and follow it, the more quickly you discern that voice in your life. So repetition makes it louder, even though it's a still small voice, makes it louder in your mind, and you develop a habit of following the guidance of the Spirit. So it's the same thing with using your mind in understanding math or in understanding other issues. The more often you do so, the repetition makes it easier the next time. So it's the same principle with hearing the Spirit's voice. The more times you hear and obey, the louder that voice becomes. And of course, the Spirit is not going to lead contrary to God's word. So if you hear a voice in your mind that you believe is leading you wrong, test it by God's word. see if it complies or if it doesn't comply, and then you know. So even the Spirit's impression on your heart has to be tested by God's word. You can't just blindly follow impressions and believe that you're going to be guided in the right way. I know there's a passage in the Spirit of Prophecy where she talks about if we're faithful to God to the end and we're saved, salvation is ours, that when we meet our guardian angel, we will recognize his voice, which means that we heard his voice while we were living on this earth, and we heard it more than once. So whether it's the Spirit speaking to us or whether it's our guardian angel speaking to us, we'll recognize their voices. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any songs? Before we close, please go right ahead. Well, have a wonderful remaining week, dear ones. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you on the Sabbath coming up. Keep looking up. Keep growing in grace. And continue drawing closer to the Savior. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you in just a couple days. And I'd like to leave you with the scripture song. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Isaiah 43 verse 10. And may God bless.